143. 143 or
yeah,
1 and
that's
2?
That's what I meant.
143. Oh, 143.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
USC, baby.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode number 691. I think, of Locked On Raptors for Saturday, March the 28th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of Raptors.com for the month of March. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. We can find links to every single episode of the podcast. And, of course, please make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network, where we have team-focused shows covering all 30 NBA teams, all 32 NFL teams, as the NFL draft comes up and they continue over in the NFL to exist as though nothing is happening in the outside world. So kudos to them. You've also got the Locked On MLB shows and NHL, as well as the College Network. And all the hosts are doing a great job right now of putting out really creative stuff, lots of bracket content, all that good stuff that you love. So please find a show that you want to support. Support it by subscribing to it, rating and reviewing it, and it's very much appreciated when you take the time to do that. All right, on today's show, it is a Saturday episode. We were supposed to do a mailbag, but only a couple people sent questions in. We might get to those questions. We might just shoot the breeze for a little bit before checking in on the final four of the greatest Raptors performances bracket. But joining me to do all of that and more is Katie Heindel. Katie, what's up?
Hanging in there, buddy.
Yeah, it's... it feels... This is probably the longest month I've ever experienced.
It's yeah, I was. Ridiculous. I had to look something up. I had to look something up for a story I was writing, and I was like, "Oh, that matchup happened months ago, and it was March 2nd." and I was like, "This is messed up."
Yeah, it's crazy. I like in the bracket, OG Anunoby's game against the Nuggets earlier this month, literally, where he had seven steals. Every time I wrote about that game, I just like kind of wanted to cry a little bit because it felt like it happened 2 years ago and not 3.5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's rough out there, man. I'm also feeling a little blue today because I'm deep in the in a quarantine hangover. you know, probably exacerbating all of my feelings of despair right now, but
most likely.
Yeah, this should help turn me around though. I think we're going to have a fun podcast.
It's going to be emotional.
Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. So the thing I wanted to talk about is Serge Ibaka mostly. He continues to be an absolute king. You're doing NBA quarantine watch for UpRocks right now.
Yeah.
Is Serge Ibaka, the leader in the clubhouse as the MVP, looking to avenge his loss of the MVP in the summer vacation watch last summer?
I haven't decided if I'm going to award a MVP of quarantine watch just because of, like, the circumstances.
Yeah.
But, Serge is definitely up there, if only for, like, because it's not so much Serge is, like, doing antics in quarantine like some players are to keep busy. Serge is, like, he's tapped into a kind of a brand new, I think he's, like, kind of tapped into the overarching anxiety and, like, feelings of kind of, like, no one knows what's going to happen next and, like, the stress of that everyone is feeling. But he's, like, really using his platform and kind of, like, I think such a nice and like generous way to do that. Like he's engaging with, first it was just him kind of like broadcasting out to the world, it felt like, but then he started to like engage with people more. He did that amazing thing with like public health, Toronto Public Health yesterday. So yeah, like what Serge is doing is more like, I feel like he's trying to take care of people, which is very meaningful and nice.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the video he did yesterday where he chatted with the Toronto Public Health officials and somehow wove in scarves as the thing that they built the entire segment around, it does kind of tap into that, right? Where he's not just at home, withering away playing video games and Twitch streaming and stuff like that and getting caught doing unsavory things on the gram. He's just, like, it seems like he's trying to use his boredom and channel it into something positive. And I don't know. He's just so easy to like make content with now. He's just such a contentsman. It's lovely.
Like, I think at first they were like that, right? Like, he set up that gym in his house and
yeah.
And then he was doing kind of jokey things. But then as he gradually started to reach out, like first to teammates and like check in with them. And then it's gone more broad now. And it's like public service work almost. Yeah. I think it's like we sort of watch this natural transition almost of like what can happen to someone. Anyone is maybe going through the same thing, right? Whether you're in quarantine or you're just self-isolating, I've been talking about this just in the sense of like people, I think, are really craving community and craving interaction. And like we're all online and reading news and like getting bummed out by the news. And it can feel like such a barrage. But like it also is fostering these like really intense, I think, new communities to start up. And I think in a way we've seen like Serge shift from isolation of like himself and probably like used to being around guys like on the team, right? To like then shift to team awareness of like what those guys are doing and how they're keeping up. But then also like a more global thing, like, wait a second, like I can be impactful in other ways right now. And like, I've got a captive audience everywhere.
Yeah.
So like, I'm going to do that, which it's like, I don't know. I think it's extremely cool. Like, I think it's kind of, and I also think like I'll give him credit, but you've seen it start with like Lowry has started posting and sharing a lot more than like he ever has.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, he's leading by this certain example.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's been really nice. They're just like, they're posting through it with wholesomeness, and it's really, really been lovely.
Yeah, I'm crying every time I see anything. And then the first one was like Serge loading the dishwasher. And I was like, why is this really hitting this way?
Just feeding the content piggies some of the nicest, calmest slop there is. I'm the Serge thing, man. So yesterday I got kind of sad thinking about the Raptors, and you know, it's such a bummer that their season obviously got derailed, and you know, there's an element of a bummer to every season getting derailed because there's stories going on with all these teams. But this one, it kind of hit me yesterday thinking, because I got a couple questions for a mailbag or just like for future mailbags and stuff like that that were sent in that were about like the future and the possibility that like Serge and Marc Gasol and Fred VanVleet have like played their last games as Raptors. And that made me like profoundly sad. I know like that probably is like a strange thing to feel on a Friday while like so many things are going on in the world. But just to sit there and think like, damn, like we maybe have seen the last of these guys. I don't know. It hit pretty hard. I'm growing less and less confident every day that there's going to be a season. I think like all of the business people are like, oh yeah, just a couple weeks, we'll be fine. And then all of the smart science people are like, buddy, this is 6 months. What the hell are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure it's somewhere probably in the middle, but I'm certainly leaning a little closer to sort of buying into what the scientists are saying, obviously. And that's making the possibility of a season seem pretty unlikely to me. And it's just, I don't know, how are you sort of reckoning with that and the potential that like these guys who were such beloved players, and you know, Serge just continues to add to his legend, and I mean Fred is too, like howling with his children and like posting videos of that. I mean, like, it's just adding to how likable these guys are right now, and there's a potential that we never see it on the floor again. It's kind of a sobering thing.
I only get sad about it when I like think of it in the Raptors context, because like otherwise, and honestly, I think they should cancel. I think they should call it. Like, I think they really should cancel the season, because when you look at it with more and more people, like the States as a whole, it's awful what's happening there. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. Like a lot worse, I think. And I don't think it's like alarmist to say that. I think it's very realistic. And I think there's some realism that weirdly the NBA is leading on, that like the president is not leading on. But that's like another thing to talk about. But when you look at that like large scale, and then you look at like something like the NBA, you have to figure there's going to be more players that test positive, or family members of players that test positive. And so every time someone tests positive, it's like you have to go into quarantine again, right? So they couldn't bring the season back. It's got to be 2 weeks out from that time. Mm-hmm. So like they don't know when they're going to have the L clear in that sense. So even if they were like, okay, we'll bring games back, we'll play them in like empty arenas, or like specific arenas, we'll like the logistics of like getting players to places just so people can watch basketball. Like, while a part of me is like, yeah, that's cool. Also a part of me is like, that seems like not what the priority should be right now. Mm. And I miss basketball a lot, but like to shift it specifically to Raptors, when I think about, I'm sad because of the season they were having was like so notable and like so crazy and worthwhile and seemed like it in a lot of ways was going to eclipse last season for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And like whatever was going to happen in the playoffs, like would have happened, or I don't know. But like that aside, I mean, like this season has been so incredible. So it sucks to have that kind of, to have that season end this way. And then to your point of like, is this the last time we're going to see a lot of these guys? I really hope not. I get like the business sense, and I get that, like, actually, I don't know, maybe they'll do something to contracts where it changes like the length of those contracts. Right. But then I guess they'd have to figure out that league wide, what that looked like.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at it traditionally as it is now, when like time on these contracts are up, I mean, I still think they'll bring Fred back, but a part of me is like, can't you just bring everybody back? Because they like didn't, they never got to play healthy together. Then there was a pandemic that ended the season. So just like out of the good of your heart, Masai, like, can't you just like rewrite the season? You know what I mean? In the way that it should have happened. But I guess I haven't projected that far ahead like as you have, and let myself get sad about it.
Yeah.
I hope it's like not the last we've seen of Serge, like, and Mark and Fred. Like, I really hope so. I don't feel like it is, but I also have no idea how the league is going to handle this.
Yeah, it's so uncertain. We don't know what like free agency is going to look like when it happens. We don't know, again, if there's a season or not, how that changes things. Like, if they come back and play games and force it to happen, which I agree. I think it's getting to the point now in the States where, like, it's pretty undeniable that it's going to be an absolute shit show down there. And mm-hmm. it feels really irresponsible to try to get basketball back when it's just not the thing that matters. It's just not going to be. And I think the NBA, as much as it's, like, an enormous financial hit, like, I think if you're comparing them to, like, the like baseball or to the NHL, like, they can probably afford to cancel their playoffs a little bit more, and I would hope that they would sort of lean on that and just say, okay, like, this is the responsible thing to do, let's be like the leader in the business again. Because mm-hmm. I'm like fully I guarantee you there's going to be hockey of some sort, just because the NHL can't afford to not have its playoffs because they actually rely on gate revenue. And so I'm fearful that that's going to, like, it just feels like a surefire way to, like, introduce a second wave, to just be like, yeah, no, the sports are back now because we had one dip in cases or whatever. It just, and again, I'm not an epidemiologist, but it just feels very stupid and irresponsible to, you know, put that in the world that, oh yeah, we're gonna have hockey in August. Like, that just feels like a bad idea. But I just, when it comes to like Serge, Mark, and Fred in particular, I'm also a little bit hopeful, like, especially with Serge. I don't know how this will play in, because obviously, like, you know, there are ramifications for the future and the salary cap, whatever the salary cap is even going to look like, because there's going to be like a huge loss of money probably this year, and that might change what the salary cap looks like, and that's not the thing that matters. But I'm a little bit hopeful that they'll just like run it back for one more year, because that's sort of the runway they have anyway. Mm-hmm. And I guess it kind of depends on whether or not like someone like Serge is okay taking a 1 year contract versus getting the big ass contract he probably deserves. But it's the way he's like performed in this, like, it's a weird way to describe it, but like the way he is like been such a staple for the fan base and stuff during what is a horrible time. Like, I feel like that should like play into how much money he makes and like what contract he gets. He's just like, there should be some sort of stipulation where you get paid extra because you're an amazing teammate and fan favorite and guy. Like, yeah, I know that's not how teams think, but maybe they should.
I don't know. We kind of touched on this though before when we talked about like, this is different, but when you bring in like personal clout into like MVP candidacy and like voting of like NBA award voting. And I know contract awarding is different and it varies like franchise to franchise, but I would hesitate to just kind of like place that on people's personal values. Do you know what I mean? And not keep it more. I get that these are like extremely extenuating circumstances, totally. So maybe it does warrant it in this specific case. And that's like between the Raptors and Serge's people to like decide. But yeah, like he's been, like aside from that, just like he's been such a valuable resource, I think, to the franchise in terms of like not just content and keeping people aware of the team, but also now, like, I think introducing a totally different side of concern that, like, this team is, like, stepping up into in, like, a different role, and he's sort of, like, the ambassador of that. So there is, like, definitely a value there that's probably never happened before. Like, players have been, like, Toronto guys, like, Amir Johnson, or, like, I guess I'm just, like, only Amir Johnson, but like players that or like Jose Calderon, like guys that really like the city and like engage in it in different ways off the court. But this is like, this is a completely different thing, you know? Mm. So yeah, I mean, I hope they're looking at it and being like, this has been fantastic, Serge. And like, he seems so comfortable just like doing this. And more than that, it's not that he's comfortable. It seems like he wants to do more like whenever he can and like potentially as much as he can. So that's really cool. But I mean, yeah, I hope it counts for just like, maybe just like good pot, like good practices, right? To be like, we're not going to ditch this guy after he's just like gone and done all this for us, like in this really anxious and awful time.
Yeah. I would hope that the intangible stuff comes into mind here a little bit with Serge. It's just, and maybe this is me like clinging too much onto a thing that you know, has recency, and you know, obviously he's forever entwined with the championship team and everything like that, but like the way that Serge has, and like Eric Kareen wrote a great feature about this week, the way Serge has become just like an indelible part of the Raptors and like someone that you couldn't really envision the team without at this point is like a real testament to him. It's a real testament to the Raptors for like finding a way to tap into what he's got going on. I don't know, man. Serge rules. I'm just so happy every time I see Serge content pop up. And this is not something I would have thought 2 years ago. It's just such a remarkable turnaround. We can switch gears a little bit here. There's another Raptors development I wanted to talk about, and this one has to do with our friendship watch that we've had going on this season. You know, okay. We've talked this year about how the team, we're not really sure who's friends on the team. You know, it's a little bit, there's, you know, some separation age wise, and there's, you know, even some guys who are in certain age groups, some will have kids, some don't. It's we don't have like a Yak and Skills type of relationship. We don't have a DeMar Kyle very clear best friendship on the team right now. There's a lot of like mentorship and chemistry and all that stuff, and you could argue that maybe like Serge and OG is something close to this, but I think the friendship that we really need to be talking about now is Terrence Davis and DeJuan Hernandez, who are apparently quarantining together and working out on a balcony.
Are they roommates then? Like,
I'm assuming they're roommates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't have just like decided to start. I mean, yeah, I guess they like could have. They can do whatever they want. Maybe they did. but I wonder if their roommates are like within the same complex, perhaps on the same floor.
Yeah. This is just the shared party space on the top floor they've moved into.
Or they're just going to one another's apartments. Because I feel like if you're in quarantine, loose rules, and you can get to someone else's, like if you live on the same floor as somebody in like a condo, and you can get there without touching anything or contacting anyone, then that's okay, maybe.
Yeah, I think the thing with seeing other people, and I don't know, I've felt very weird about this too, right? Like, this is not about Terrence Davis and DeJuan Hernandez. This is about quarantine etiquette. But like, I don't know. Do you feel weird seeing, like, if you have like one set person you see? Like, I still have to go to the radio station every morning to do the show. But like, I see exactly my co-host and he doesn't see anybody else. And like, that seems fine. But I also feel weird about it sometimes. Like, should we even be here? I don't know what the hell's going on. But like, we're sanitizing and everything. I don't know. It's figuring out the rules is strange. No, they should tell us the actual hard and fast rules, maybe. I don't know.
I think that's changing because, like, yeah, I agree. Or, like, you go outside, like, I'll go out and, like, walk the dogs, and you're like, no, oh, there's a lot of people in this park.
Yeah, why are all these people walking now?
Yeah.
Myself and I mean, included.
Like, yeah, and it's like, I get it. Like, I gotta be out here. This is, like, for practicality's sake. But then you start to feel weird, and you're like, why do I feel territorial about a public street? You're like, I walk this all the time. Where have you been?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I've been walking here since before the pandemic.
Yeah. I think they'll make it a little bit more clear. I actually saw signs on a couple parks in my neighborhood this morning, not just on playgrounds, but just like on like anything that they could be posted on. Like, park is closed. So I feel like a lot of the public spaces are closed. But then again, like, you can't close a field or like, you know, a wooded area, really. So I think it's still, you got to observe the like, spacing. But then some people aren't doing that either. And also, I got offended the other day because I was walking on the street and a woman, like, it was like a double wide sidewalk and no one else was around, and I moved over and then she walked into the road like kind of overkill, and yeah. I wanted to be like, really? But like, whatever. Everybody is like doing what makes them comfortable, I guess.
Yeah, I don't like the whole just feeling like everybody is patient zero around me, even
yes.
though they're most likely not. I don't like that at all. I like to be a friendly person out and about, and now I just feel like, get me the hell out of here whenever I'm in a situation where there are people within 30 feet of me.
It's, yeah.
I don't know. Very strange stuff. Anyway, Terrence Davis and Dewan Hernandez.
Yes,
are
yes, yes. they're friends. I'm glad for that. I think we knew this like a little bit, but I saw it more in like locker room interactions, like before the season stopped, just in like Dewan kept interrupting Terrence Davis's like post games.
Yeah.
Or he, that time he like pretended to be, he's done this twice actually, pretended to be a reporter and asked him questions. Like when he was like, is this because we had such a good dinner last night as a team, was one. Yeah. So like that kind of stuff was pretty cute and endearing, but I guess I thought that was more just like how Dewan behaved to like everyone, because I've seen him do it with Matt Thomas and maybe Pascal, but now it turns out he was focusing in on Terrence Davis specifically because they're friends.
Yeah, it's really nice to see. I don't think there's any other Raptors who are holed up together, as I understand,
I mean,
it at least.
I kind of hope not.
My hope is that Pascal and Yak somehow found a way to get an Airbnb together.
Oh. They're probably in touch, for sure.
They're probably FaceTiming every day. They're just trying all the different, like, all right, we're going to do house party today, Zoom tomorrow, FaceTime later today.
I feel like we got to make it clear which ones are for which. I know people are using Zoom, but I think Zoom is for work.
Yes.
I got house party, and I think house party is good for your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my stance.
Yeah, I agree. I'm more of a FaceTime traditionalist, but last night we tried to do a call with like my brother and sister and my cousin and stuff, and my sister and brother don't have iPhones, so that made the FaceTime difficult. And house party was kind of slow and glitchy, but that might just be the fact that I have horrible internet, so I don't know. But yeah. Learn all the apps. I'm sure there are more we'll discover over the course of this. It's a good time to be a video chat app. Dewan and Terrence Davis. Yeah, no, I'm happy to see Dewan up and down, like up and moving around. He's had some horrible issues with his ankles this season, and so I'm hoping he's not overexerting himself. Have you seen the video of them on the balcony? I'm trying to figure out where the hell they are.
No, I haven't actually. I only saw the one, like the video game one, but I haven't seen balcony.
Okay. It's one of the, I think that it might be on the Don River, but also it doesn't really look like the Don River. It's like one of the most recent tweets on the Raptors account, if you wanted to go look it up.
Here I go. Here yeah. I go. Gotta do this for research for the show.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, it might be like Etobicoke and like that area with all the condos, but it also doesn't look that much like Toronto to me. I don't know.
Where is it? From yesterday?
23 hours ago.
Oh,
so yes,
here we go.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Grind, don't stop. This one?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So I think they have, oh, you know where this is? This is in like just before Mimico, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Norm
yeah.
lives over there too. It's like, there's that bike, that white bike suspension bridge that goes over this part of the, this right. isn't the Don River. It's the, oh, what's this river?
The Humber River, right?
Humber. Yeah. It's the Humber.
Yeah. Okay.
And okay. I think what it looks like is that their balconies connect to each other.
Oh, maybe? Or is it just one big condo with one balcony?
I'm going to hope that it's that their balconies connect. And that's how they've been hanging out safely. Because I like the idea of one of them going to the other's place and, like, knocking on the balcony door.
I am glad. It really warms my heart to see the two rookies this season just, like, doing the thing that past rookies have done, like the Fred Pascal thing, and I feel like DeLon and Yak. Was that the same year? Or it was Pascal and Yak. Whatever it is. Guys who come in the same year tend to, it seems, coagulate together, and it's very nice. It's just part of the pipeline that the Raptors have established, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice, it's like, pipeline is a little bit, I can't think of another, like, a fuzzier term.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's efficient.
I'm just saying, it's part of their player development system.
They make efficient friendships. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we could wrap up with a quick chat here, Katie, of the final four in my bracket of the greatest Raps performances of all time. Just actually got tweeted out as we record from the Raptors account. So we've gone through the first three rounds on this podcast, and this is the least interesting round to me because I think both are pretty obvious picks, but we can get into them quickly here to wrap up the show. Katie, the final four matchups in the greatest Raptors regular season performances of all time tournament, the Gerspote, as people are calling it everywhere.
Wow.
on one side of the bracket, the Wayne Embry region, we've got DeMar DeRozan's 52-point game, 5 boards, 8 assists against the Milwaukee Bucks on New Year's Day 2018, a game in which he set the franchise record for scoring, and it was wonderful, and it's the number one overall seed in the tournament, up against the number 10 seed in the Embry region, which has been a giant killer, which beat Terrence Ross, which makes me very mad, and I don't want it to win as a result. Kawhi Leonard's 38 points with 3 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals, and the game-winning bounce-around shot against the Blazers last March the 3rd, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you are voting on this, Katie, which way are you leaning?
Yeah, I would like to be contrarian just to agitate you, but I can't be. Like, I'm going to vote for DeMar. And I think it's interesting that the Kawhi thing is, like, I get it. It's cool. But I think it's just, like, it's more in people's memory recently. Because I remember that DeMar game. And I remember specifically because New Year's Day games can be such a crapshoot. Because, like, guys are so hungover sometimes. Like, I've seen New Year's Day games where, like, the ball, guys are falling down all the time. The ball is bouncing off people's faces, like, feet. Which are also fun to watch. But in a different way. But I remember this game. And I remember, like, how exhilarating and cool it felt, and, like, to set the franchise record on, like, a kind of, like, in that almost, like, symbolic way of, like, starting. I know it's, like, not the new season, but starting the new year like that felt really cool. So that's where my vote is.
Yeah, I think this one's pretty easy. DeMar has already beaten the hell out of one of Kawhi's games in the tournament. This the same DeMar game beat Kawhi's 45-point game with like 85% of the vote. So I'm pretty sure he's going to win here. It's just really stupid to me that Kawhi's game made it past Terrence Ross. I know Sean likes Terrence Ross. It's stupid.
But you
it's
made,
very dumb.
You made this.
I know I made it. But I also kind of painted myself into a corner because in the previous round, I exercised emergency powers in a matchup that I thought didn't make any sense, where Vince Carter's 51-point game lost to a Kawhi game, a different Kawhi game, and I made the executive decision to advance Carter's game anyway because I thought it was a really stupid decision by the people. And so I couldn't do that for a second round in a row and move Terrence Ross along, even though it's just as great an injustice that Terrence Ross lost. He scored 51 points in a game, and it looked easy. And Kawhi scored 30-plus points in most of the games he played. And this Portland game only stands out because, A, popularity and recency bias, and B, the fact that he hit a game-winning shot that bounced around a little bit. But it's very stupid that he lost, and I don't agree with it. But so we'll move DeMar on anyway. and I think that should be a pretty easy vote. And then the next matchup is Kyle Lowry up against Kyle Lowry. two Lowry games. The first one, the 43 points he put up against the Cavaliers in 2016 with the game-winning shot at the end of the game, the long two, step back to the left, the classic Lowry shot. And then the other game is the game from earlier this season against Dallas, where he had 32, 8, and 10 to lead the Raptors back from down 30 with 14 minutes left to beat the Mavericks. The Mavs game is the 14 seed in the John Saunders region. It's gone on a wonderful run. I don't think it should beat Kyle's Cavs game, but what do you think, Katie?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Oh.
I do. I mean, I was at that game, and I remember, like, the sea change of energy that Lowry specifically brought by, once again, always putting the game on his back and just deciding it wasn't going to do and he had to change things. So it was cool. Like, it was, like, really exhilarating feeling. There was, like, some electricity, like, I feel like, in the arena. And more than that, it was just, like, that was a matchup that I was pretty intent on seeing, just because, to me, both of those teams were meeting at a point in the season where there were a lot of parallels in terms of, like, where they were at and, like, challenges they were facing. So it was kind of like a good gut check. That's how I was approaching that game. And it showed me basically mm-hmm. what I was hoping it would. Just that the Raptors were, like, that much more ahead. There'd been some because there had been some injuries at that point too. So I think it was sort of like still this sense and, like, this trepidation of, are the Raptors for real this season? And I guess maybe, like, out of what we were talking about earlier, just feeling a bit nostalgic already for this season because we don't know what's going to happen, that's going to, like, add some weight to my vote too.
Interesting. So that game, I'm not picking that one to win. I'm picking Kyle's other game just because of the competition, like the level of competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Mavs were good, but, like, Luka Doncic didn't play in that game. And so while that's not an excuse for blowing a 30-point lead in 14 minutes, I think, like, it would be much more impressive had Doncic been playing, and maybe it doesn't happen because Doncic is amazing. And the other one was against, like, the fully loaded Cavs that ended up winning the title that season, and that the Raptors would end up taking two games off of in the conference finals. And, like, that was the biggest game of the regular season that year, maybe the biggest regular season game ever for the Raptors at that time when they were in the race for the one seed. And so just, like, the LeBron element, like, having a game where you beat LeBron doesn't happen often. And so I'm leaning harder into that one. But I do understand the appeal of the Mavs game for sure. And I think they're, like, the people, many, many people out there have been saying that the 14 seed has gotten an easy run through the tournament. You played, like, Bargnani and then OG and then Serge. And, like, maybe it was set up to make it to a Final Four and maybe even a championship. But it's a really, really great game. I don't think it's, like, a crazy upset that it made it this far. I just think it would be a crazy upset if it beat Kyle's 43-point game.
But you know what? I also think there's something to be said for, like, let's put the past behind us.
I suppose that's, yeah, that's true.
Let's not get so hung up on, like, on LeBron and, like, the insecurity he's brought this franchise for, like, years and years and years, you know? Like, that was an important game and a, like, cool game and a very good game at the time for what it was and all the reasons that you said. But I would also say that the Raptors have, like, been better about beating the Cavs in the regular season, of course, than in the postseason. But more than that, I just think, like, I don't want to hang my hat on that stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want to live in the now.
That's fair. The game against the Mavs certainly is sort of, like, imbued with the, like, Lowry not giving a shit sort of vibes that he's given off all season after winning the title and having nothing to prove anymore. And so it is a very liberated performance, I guess, compared to, like, the expectation and the stakes that were at play in that Cavs game, which is probably something that goes in favor of Kyle, I guess. But yeah, you can't go wrong. Kyle Lowry rules. I also just kind of want to see the matchup of the 2-1 seeds, Kyle and DeMar. That's also why I'm going here. I mean, it's going to be Kyle DeMar no matter what. I just feel like it'll be a closer matchup if you get that Cavs Kyle game in there. But could be wrong. Maybe the 14 seed Cinderella run will continue all the way to glory. Kyle's been doing very well in the voting, so like people have been very, very pro Kyle, which is good. He deserves to be. He rules. All right, Katie, I think that's probably a good place to leave it. We had a good chat. Sorry, we didn't answer any mailbag questions, but that was
okay.
We meandered. We talked about both basketball and the hells of the world. It's been lovely.
Yeah, I think it was like a good mix, and I think we handled it with care and realism.
Yeah,
but we didn't get too depressed.
No,
it's all we can ask for around these days. Yeah.
Yeah. all right, Katie, I am going to go make a stack of 10,000 pancakes. Would you have anything that you would like to plug?
Yeah, I'm going to do a real personal plug.
Yes.
If you follow me on Twitter, and if you don't, you can go to my Twitter account. But my parents are currently stranded on a cruise ship off the coast of Panama where very sadly, a few people have died, probably due to COVID, but there's no testing on board and cruise ships are evil. So anyway, I've asked if you can, if you're in Canada, to reach out to your MP. I've written a template email that you can send. You just have to replace the MP's name and your name at the end of the letter. I'm going to keep updating that as the situation changes. So all the information in that letter will be relevant. So even if you've sent one already, which I am so appreciative of and like very overwhelmed and floored by the help and response that I got yesterday when I posted it, if you could do it again, just to kind of keep the pressure up. And if you haven't, if you could send one, I would be so appreciative. It would mean like literally the world to me right now.
Yeah, highly recommend. I can attest it takes like 3 minutes to find your MP's email, send them the email, and plug your name and their name in. And it's obviously like you're helping out Katie, you're helping out Katie's parents, you're helping out all the other people who are stuck on that ship right now.
Yeah, there's like 247 Canadians on board, plus like crew and like people from all over the world. So
yeah,
you have sent it, you could also share it around your networks, and that would be even more incredible.
Yeah, please go do that. Go to Katie's Twitter to see exactly how you can go about it. It's on my Twitter as well. So go do that.
Put it on your Twitter.
Yeah. If everybody puts it on their Twitter, the Canadian government will have no choice, because they're probably just as glued to Twitter as all of us are right now.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Katie, and everybody help Katie out, because Katie's the best, and I'm sure your parents are also the best, and as are all the people on that ship, which it just is a very shitty situation. So please go do that. All right, I think that's gonna do it for today's show. Katie, be well, stay safe, all that good stuff. And you can find me at Woodley Sean. Subscribe to, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And again, go and help Katie out. Go to our Twitters and you can see all the links and stuff like that. All right, that's going to do it. We will talk to you again probably on Monday with another episode of Locked On Raptors.